Hey everyone, welcome back to the 443 Security Simplified. I'm your host, Mark LaLiberty, and joining me today is...
Corey Tired Boy Knockreiner.
It's been a long few days. We are coming to you almost live from now Black Hat. Or no, DEF CON.
Jeez. Mark's tired too.
Yes, it's been a day. DEF CON in Las Vegas, live-ish from the Strip. This episode, we'll give you a recap of some of the talks we went to, some of our takeaways from the conference. It'll be another bit of a short one, but let's go ahead and jump on in. So to start it out with, the first talk we went to, I think actually in the very first hour of all the talks, was one put on by a guy known as Kingpin, or Joe Grand is his real name. And he is actually the original designer of the first digital DEF CON badge. DEF CON's been doing digital badges for quite some time. Where it's a circuit board with some electronic components on it. The first one, I think, was literally just like a blinky light or something.
Yeah, it
like
was
that.
It's basically a circuit board with the DEF CON happy face and two blinky eyes.
They've become quite a bit more complex since then. And his talk that we went to today was all about this year's DEF CON badge.
As an aside, I mean, if you watched our videos last year, I talked about Joe Grand. He is a member of the Cult of the Dead Cow, and he's one of the original hackers I followed back when I was a youngin' and not the old pop Corey.
Back in my day, yeah. When we only had LEDs on our digital badges.
Darn right. We didn't have gems.
Yes. So as Corey hinted at, this year's badge is actually really unique in that it's basically a gemstone. It's quartz. Cut into a circle by hand, as we found out during the talk, with a circuit board glued onto the back and LEDs that shine through it. And so through his talk, he went through like basically the whole process of like early on, they decided, what can we do? Oh, you know what? Let's do gems. And then they went through this whole like multi-month process of trying to buy basically 30,000 gems. He went to like a local jewelry store. He's from Oregon, went to a local jewelry store in Oregon. He's like, oh, this is neat. Where can you get me 30,000 of them?
Yeah, sure.
And the guy's like, no, nope. What? So he ended up going to the Tucson like gem show or something like that.
And not just one place at the Tucson gem show. He is bouncing around trying to find the right guy.
Yeah, so the Tucson gem show, I've never been, but I guess it takes place over multiple blocks in sunny Tucson, Arizona. And he was going to he'd go to a stall and be like, I need 30,000 of like this gem. And they're like, oh, I can't do that. But talk to this guy. Yeah. And went through this long chain.
Here's a WhatsApp, a secret WhatsApp you should go to.
Apparently
get him by the
WhatsApp.
End of the show.
But anyways, long story short, he ended up finding basically a distributor where they sourced the gems, the solid quartz straight out of Brazil, shipped them to China, where he actually got to go visit where they were cutting them by hand into these little circular puck kind of shaped things. And then through the whole process of then designing the digital badge that gets glued on top of it.
He had a lot of interesting points too, from like they started in January and the whole idea of keeping a schedule to design these badges. I think you and our team, Zane, can really relate to how you have to get to dates when you're ordering. You know, we were only doing under 1,000, but yeah, you have an order date, a time you need to get to, only a few months to do coding. For him, it was a few weeks.
He was coming down like some of his things. He was buying the final parts before he tested to make sure they would work, which is terrifying if you have ever done any project whatsoever.
Yeah, for us, it was just kind of a fun thing, but he's the badge for a more than 30,000 person conference, so that's kind of a bit of stress.
No pressure.
Yeah.
One cool thing out of this year's badge that he mentioned that I want to point out is in previous year's badges, they've sometimes had you connect them up and they talk, or maybe like a wireless communication. This year, he used something really interesting. An infamy, he called it, NFMI, which is near field magnetic induction. As a way to send transmissions over magnetic fields instead of like RFID or NFC.
He said, I think it's an expensive add-on to a badge. Not many people use it because apparently you have to order lots of a million before it really comes cost-effective.
But they worked with, NXP? And they actually were really on board with the whole project. NXP, a hardware manufacturer.
Freescale.
Actually assigned some engineers to help out with it, too.
Yeah.
They managed to get it working. Funny enough, so with NFMI or Infamy, it is 596, he said kilobytes per second. I think it might be kilobits per second.
Yeah. Faster than modem speeds, but still kind of...
faster than the first modem I can remember, but still much slower than your typical internet connection, at least.
For sure.
But still really interesting seeing the process, especially since we just went through it on a much smaller scale.
Yeah.
So it was a cool talk, and I mean, we got some ideas for
you
next
year. You need to submit a talk, brother.
We will see. Maybe next year. So how about you? Any?
So we both went to the next one, but one we went to was Freaking Elevators. Freaking with a PH, by the way, if you don't know, that has to do with old school phone hacking, POTS, plain old telephone system hacking. And by the way, we thought it was maybe using the elevator telephone to control the elevator. The only downside to this talk is the first thing he said is, no, this is just hacking the elevator telephone. It won't actually hack the elevator itself.
Yep.
So, but it was elevator freaking. You might notice every elevator you get into, they're required by law to have a phone. I think sometime in 1976,
sounds right,
they made a requirement to put that phone in there. And he basically, this guy's name is Will C. He's from our neck of the woods, it sounds like. He's kind of new to DEF CON and hacking, only 3 years in. But he is. It sounds like he is a hardware hacker and engineer that he's gone all in. I think he said he attended 26 conferences in 1 year, hacking conferences. So he's really into it. But anyways, he's gone into elevators, started analyzing the phone systems, you know, found all kinds of interesting ways to figure out the phone number of the actual phone. A lot of the manuals for the switches and the four-way phone systems are online.
He was, throughout his talk, he was pulling manuals out of his pockets,
yeah,
and like
it was crazy.
The actual phone switchboard. It was
our RTFM showed up in his slides quite often.
Yes.
But the crazy thing is, I mean, you know the story in internet hacking, default passwords. All of these manuals had a password for these, for later on in the phone system, some things you could do. And they were things like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the classics. More importantly, they were defaults that, according to him, never changed. Now, what can you do with this? If you learn the elevator's phone, you can actually turn it on without someone knowing and listen to conversations. It's not a huge hack, it didn't sound like. I mean, he played with situations. He was able to hack into the actual security box of elevators, nothing to do with phones, and get into service mode and maybe stop elevators at lock floors.
You're not going to get it to crash down into the basement through this emergency phone.
But it was still interesting, very humorous. He's a very funny talker, a classic DEF CON talker in my opinion. By the way, it says don't do this. There's a lot of reasons for emergency safety reasons, they have these phones. But it sounds like it's just kind of a fun thing where he can prank people in elevators.
It was a fun talk.
For sure.
Definitely a fun talk.
Yeah.
So
speaking of not fun, what did you see that was not as cool?
Yeah, so kind of rounding out the day, we went to a talk from Senator Ron Wyden out of Oregon, who, I mean, I went to it because it was all about how phone service providers are basically betraying our privacy to the government, which is an
interesting
topic.
The talk sounded interesting as far as learning what phone providers are doing.
Yeah, and I had hopes that because he's on like the Senate Intelligence Committee, we'd get some maybe inside baseball out of it. But I mean, honestly, it was basically just a political speech. Like, it felt like I was at a campaign rally, which is a little disappointing because, I mean, he's in a position he could have given us obviously not classified info, but at least some more interesting info. But
and I mean, was,
I don't know if it's like just the way that they talk, but
he did fish for reply. I mean, I agree with a lot of the things. I actually like him as a senator as far as him trying to, you know, secure election hacking machines, trying to go against phone companies and privacy, and maybe trying to go against mass surveillance, trying to get more what I'm looking for, you know, checks and balances for things like surveillance. But like he said, I mean, some of his lines were designed just for applause.
I could picture the bracketed pause for applause inside of it, which is a shame because, I mean, I agree with like everything he said, and it's an interesting topic. It's just,
I think I saw him, he confirmed it. He has had a black hat before, and I've seen him. There's one time he talked about these things passionately, and it didn't seem like a campaign speech. This time it felt way more prepared.
I mean, I assume he's up for re-election next year.
I don't know. There's Oregonians in the audience, so maybe they'll go for him.
Whatever.
Yeah. So I guess the last one, to kind of bring it up again, I did go to an interesting talk right before this one, actually, that the main title was I Know What You Did Last Summer. But essentially, it was a guy that he comes to DEF CON with a backpack full of wireless gear, and he actually sniffs DEF CON's wireless network. And he's serious about it. I mean, DEF CON's wireless network is huge now. You can't just bring a single pineapple to sniff it, you know. you're going to need terabytes of data and tons and tons of processing power.
I want to pause. You're doing him an injustice by saying it's a backpack full of wireless gear. It is the most insane contraption I've ever seen.
It's like a rack with more antennas than I've ever seen on one thing.
Picture like the prickliest cactus you've ever seen stuck on someone's back, except every little pin is a wireless antenna.
By the way, he is Mike Spicer, and he goes by the alias Dark Matter. So anyways, he talked about how, you know, one, it's a struggle to capture that much wireless data, and he really wanted all of it. You can bring a wireless packet sniffer here, and you'll be dropping a ton of wireless packets, but when he wants to capture the network, he wants it all. So he talked about the struggles to doing that. Then, you know, you get home, and you have a 5 gigabyte, you know, Ethereal, or I'm sorry, what's it called now? You have a big packet. I'm Ethereal, Wireshark.
There we go. Man.
Old man Corey is still calling Wireshark Ethereal.
History lessons on packet hacking with Corey Knockreiner.
But anyways, you have a 5 gig packet sniff. That's going to take forever to open and to analyze. You want to search that packet sniff, it will take forever. So he talked about, he released a tool called PCAPinator, and it actually will launch, like T-Sharks are some of the things you want to do to look at some of the packet sniffs. He can actually launch on a very hefty computer rig thousands of T-Sharks at once with his PCAPinator tool.
Wow.
So it makes the analysis of it much easier.
I bet that computer plays Crysis 3 really well.
Oh, I bet you it would play anything really well. It had a lot and a lot of cores. anyways, besides that, he wire sniffed DEF CON last year, and DEF CON gets this kind of reputation for being the most dangerous network in the world. And his takeaway was it's really not. I mean, he didn't see a whole lot of horrible hacks happening. He did see things like one of the things he did, he could geolocate all the people that went on the DEF CON network. There's a tool called Wiggle that kind of tracks SSIDs around the world. You can see it online at wiggle.net with 1G. So he showed kind of where all the DEF CON people were from. He also showed there were clear text passwords, you know, the typical wall of sheep.
Yep.
But most of the passwords on the wall of sheep now are people that are making jokes. They know they're going to show up on the wall of sheep, so it's like a fake password about Trump Towers or something like that. But anyways, he did share a little bit of information about the kind of attacks. There are a lot of DDoS attacks happening at Black Hat, so there's obviously pineapples there. He saw some evidence of crack attacks and other things like that, but it really didn't look like the most dangerous network in the world. Nonetheless, it was really interesting.
That does sound like, and I saw him in the hallway, so it was a really cool backpack.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, thanks again for listening. As always, if you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. If you have any questions on today's topics or suggestions for future episode topics, check us out on Twitter. I'm at @XORRO_. Corey is at @SecAdept, and the both of us are at #the443podcast.
We take tips. Tweet at us. We'll send you our Venmo.
Exactly. God. Are we allowed to? Whatever.
Oh, maybe not.
Thanks for listening, and we will see you either tomorrow or sometime very soon with another recap.